This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Of course, week zero college, but just feels good to say we've got live bullets. College football starting up this weekend. We're going to talk to John Laub about college football. Fantrax, college football writer, does a great job. You can find him on Twitter at GridironSCOL91. Now, what I want to do here, you got great notes, John. Welcome to the program. You've got higher than the market on a few college teams and a couple of pro teams. You've got some Heisman targets to get to. And you've got long shots, which I love in some of the conferences here. Let's start with the ACC. And of course, we've got Dublin, Florida State, Georgia Tech. The number right now at most shops, Florida State laying 11 and 55 and a half. And that opener in Ireland. However, if we go to the ACC and take a look at one of your long shots, it's North Carolina. Why?
Actually, North Carolina State, the Wolfpack.
NC State. Okay.
Yes, at NC State. I like Grayson McCall, the quarterback. They also have a very young quarterback, a freshman. I'm sorry, his name escapes me right now. And when you look at the schedule, it's not intimidating. I mean, there's really, I guess Clemson might be a bump in the road, obviously Tennessee, but they're at home. North Carolina looks down. I look at that. I think 9 to 10 wins is no problem here. And North Carolina State has never reached the ACC championship game. And the coach is pushing that all off season. So I think there's a little motivation there for the Wolfpack team.
Love it. NC State 6.5 to 1 in the ACC. I just talked about, of course, Florida State and Georgia Tech. Florida State is your betting favorite in the ACC at plus 290. Are they rightful favorites?
Not at all. I just cannot believe that people are looking at this team. And I'm a Mike Norvell guy. But I do believe that experience, games played, and returning players matter. They've lost so many players from that undefeated team. And we saw them in the bowl game last year when they just got swamped because all of their players decided not to play because they didn't make the playoffs and they were getting ready for their NFL careers. I'm not a big DJ Uiagalelei. He's all right. He's a good college quarterback. I don't think he's a big difference maker. I'm totally off the Seminoles this year.
Love the, that is an opinion. I love it. John Laub, Fantrax, college football writer. Okay, let's get to the Big Ten, and you're taking a shot here. So, of course, the Big Ten right now, Ohio State's plus 155. Oregon's not far behind at 2 to 1. Then you've got Penn State at 5 to 1. But you're going to look to Nebraska. It's a big number, 55 to 1. You're high on Nebraska this year.
It's really the coaching staff. And I look, the freshman quarterback, Raiola, is coming in. He's really good. He's going to start. I think they named him the starter early in this week. So I understand why there's trepidation from people with the freshman quarterback. But Matt Rhule, if you remember, before his stint at the NFL, and the NFL did not turn out to be very good, but I do believe there are college coaches and then there are NFL coaches. He turned Temple around really quickly. Then he goes to Baylor, and he turned Baylor around, and now we look at what's happened to Baylor. They're looking real in bad shape this year. And now he's at his second year with Nebraska. He's got a dynamic young quarterback. His defense is going to be improved. I really like this. I'm always looking for long shots. I don't. Who wants to bet Ohio State? Fine. Bet $10, win $1.50. I want to win the 55-1. I like Nebraska here a ton.
I love it. Let's go to the SEC. And Georgia, obviously, the favorite at plus 190. Texas, plus 320. We'll get to Ole Miss, who you're high on in just a bit, but I love the price. A lot of returning production at Mizzou. Missouri, 18 to 1. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I was talking just earlier about how Florida State had lost all kinds of production and players. Missouri's almost the exact opposite. They lost some key members on defense, but it not the total exodus like the Seminoles did down in Tallahassee. They have enough returning players. They bring in some transfers. They've actually been recruiting pretty well. And the offense, they have the quarterback in Brady Cook. They have arguably a top 10 pick in Luther Burden, the wide receiver. They're going to be able to throw the ball. And the big bump is obviously Alabama. That's on the road. That's obviously a problem. But if you look at the schedule on the screen there, again, that's not overly intimidating. Where do you say to yourself, oh, my God, Missouri can't win this game other than probably Alabama?
John's getting me fired up for college football. I love the vibes right now. Let's stick in the SEC. Lane has a loaded squad. So we'll talk Ole Miss and Jackson Dart as well, Heisman. But you're higher than even the market on Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think Mississippi's in a great spot here. Lane Kiffin, now there's a lot of different perspectives. I happen to like Lane Kiffin. I think he's a really good coordinator of offense, at least in the top five in college football. He's a big believer in the transfer portal. So they had some talent beforehand, but man, he just reloads. And you look again, like schedule and returning production means so much in college football, not as much in the NFL, but definitely in college. And again, look at that easy schedule to open up. How do they not jump out of the gate at 4-0? And they're probably going to put 160 points up. They might get 180 on that schedule, knowing Lane Kiffin. Then you're going to see there's a tough game, Kentucky. But I do think they're better. I'm already salivating for that October 12th game at LSU. Oh, my God, that might be a 75-80 point over-under when we get there. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, again, Georgia. So there's really three games that I'm concerned about. If they go 2-1 in those three games, they have an outside chance here. I like them in the SEC championship game.
Love it. So Heisman targets, Jackson Dart, and then Colorado and Travis Hunter.
I am all in on Jackson Dart. I like experience at the quarterback position. And if people don't know, Jackson Dart started at USC, then he transferred over to Mississippi. He's coming into an SEC where there's a lot of changeover at the quarterback position. You do have Brady Cook and Carson Beck and Jackson Dart. You have the big three, right? I love those guys. But then you have some other players I have questions about. I'm also looking for value at the Heisman Trophy. And I think I read some crazy stat. This was last year, why I bet on Jaden Daniels. And you can hear me on the FSGA prop bet awards where I did it. I took Jaden Daniels because I got to get value for my bet. And I think the favorite hasn't won the Heisman in like 12 years. It's some crazy amount of time. So I think betting at the top of the board is insanity. We just mentioned Mississippi is loaded. If they get to the SEC championship game, it's because Jackson Dart is great. And if Jackson Dart is great, he has a nice chance there of winning the Heisman. It's 14-1 odds. I'll take that. Put down 15, 20 bucks on Jackson Dart. You got a Christmas present for your wife. I mean, I like them here a ton on this one.
I love it. And great information about the Heisman favorites. John Laub is joining us here. Fantrax, college football writer, does a great job. I want to ask you about two pro teams. The Tennessee Titans. You're a little bit higher on the Titans than others.
I do like the Titans, man. Now, it hurts that DeAndre Hopkins went down, so I understand that. But Will Levis should be improved in this Callahan system. They got to be better. They were Neanderthals on offense the last couple of years, right? Their offensive line had completely fallen apart. We're going to give it to Derrick Henry. And on 3rd and 8, we want Ryan Tannehill or a rookie quarterback, Will Levis, to make a play. Well, that's not a really good recipe for winning a lot of football games. Callahan's more creative. He helped Joe Burrow grow at Cincinnati. Now, obviously, Will Levis is not the talent of Joe Burrow, but he understands taking a young quarterback and putting him in a position to succeed. What I like that they did, their offensive line, I believe it was bottom five last year, depending on whose grading system you look at, right? Some people have different metrics, but that offensive line was bad. Well, what did the Titans do in the offseason? They addressed the offensive line. I know people say a young quarterback's best friend is the running game, the tight end. I'll say their best friend is the five guys up front. If those five guys up front keep that young quarterback protected, they're good. I love that 6.5. And I think that division is more open. The AFC South, it is more open than I think people expect it to be. The Colts, the Titans, the Texans, and the Jaguars are all very close. What if Jacksonville goes 3-3 in their division games? I love that 6.5 over.
Titans 6.5. John Lobb's got me fired up for both college and pro football. Great job. Fantrax, college football writer. You can find John over there. Football right around the corner. So we'll do it again soon, John. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everyone. And thank you for having me on, Patrick.
Thank you for coming on. That was tremendous. You know what? Energy infectious. That's a good job by you, big guy. Fantrax, college football writer John Lobb did a great job. Oh, by the way, he's high on the Raiders. Big 12 long shot, Iowa State.
The Big 12 is the wild, wild west. You could convince me of like 8 teams in that league to win it this year.
We'll convince you of a Heisman winner next. Coming up on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Shout to Florida. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got our family plays, so plenty of bets coming up in just a bit. A little Brazilian soccer. Never heard anybody either. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Even our engineer, Larry, and Sean, the whole crew over there at the D, they know that you got to tread lightly around the big guy these days.
I know that's right.
You know, Dustin, he has a weird thing lately. Well, he's had it for as long as I've known him, where I think he's flexing, but I'm not a big social media guy, but I think he's flexing a little bit. He'll say something like, this person followed me on Twitter. Like, somebody followed him on Twitter. So he's always bragging that he gets follows. And I always have to just be like, oh, that's great. But I just want to say on the air, and again, Larry and the crew, they're by you. So I can say this because I'm in another state. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. See, this, you twist words around. You hear what you want to hear. You make up tone. All I said was that I saw someone on Twitter. I followed them. They followed me back. I DM'd them. I booked them as a guest on the show. That's how it went. You seem to think I'm bragging. There is no bragging. It's called networking. It's called being a social person, Patrick. This is how you meet new people in the world instead of staying in your corner of Hermosa Beach and only not leaving a quarter mile radius around your apartment.
All right, but fair enough. But I did also have to hear, you know, your friend Taylor Mathis.
Yeah.
She gives out picks on Twitter, BetBash. I did have to hear yesterday, you know, Will Hill, he's chiming in from the cheap seats in the group chat. And you were bragging that you met her to Will. So you do this like weird thing like, yeah, oh, I met her.
Not,
like, that's a big deal.
It wasn't a brag. It wasn't a brag. There's no bragging. It's a statement of fact. See, again, you twist words around. You put tone behind it. It was literally a text message, so you can't even understand what the tone was. It was a statement of fact. Met her. Thought she was a nice person. That's all I was getting at. Boom, moved on. Now you want to twist everything around. You want to make everything a thing. Well, not everything has to be a thing. Sometimes people just say things because you're not going to say anything, and then it's awkward for everyone else involved.
Gotcha. Heisman?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot to say.
Am I right?
I have a lot to say.
Let's talk about it. All right, so let's. Now, we also, you had the USA Today odds. Are these just the graphic?
So these are DraftKings odds. USA Today.
DraftKings odds.
So USA Today did a poll, and they released the top 10 Heisman options for this year, and I thought it was an interesting list. Obviously, they have a lot of the guys who are shorter on the odds board, but there is a long shot on here that I played at. I won't give the number out yet, last week, that I think is worthy of a flyer here when it comes to this market, because it's a really weird award, and I think the 12-team playoff is going to impact it differently this year.
What was the closing before the season started on Daniels last year?
It was around 12-1 because I hit that, and during the year it dipped, and then it went back to 12-1. Like, he shortened up early, and then something happened where other people were gaining steam, and he went back up to 12-1, so I jumped in. So it was right around there.
So obviously this is going to be quarterback focused, which we were just discussing. Louisiana State quarterback LSU Jaden Daniels won the 2023 Heisman last year. So we can go ahead and take a look at the odds for this year. And Oregon quarterback, the transfer Dylan Gabriel, is your leader right around 7-1. Carson Beck down at Georgia. I know you like Carson Beck, but we're not going to be betting a 9-1 on Carson Beck. Quinn Ewers a little short at 10-1. I do think you can find Jalen Milroe at 14-1. I think DeBoer is going to be a plus net positive for Jalen Milroe. I don't think 14-1 is a terrible price. You consider the Cam Ward number to be a bit square. Cam Ward, of course, that was to me the big name in the quarterback transfer market down in Miami. Will Howard, named starter at Ohio State. The shortest number, or the next as far as a non-offensive player, would be, and he is an offensive player, but Travis Hunter is mostly a cornerback, and he's also going to play on offense. That is such a fascinating, and I'll let you run with it, that is such a fascinating team, and Colorado has a disparate opinion across the board. Because, and again, you know I like this term, they're a house of cards, they have zero depth. Zero. Now, they got a five-star on the offensive front. They reloaded in the transfer portal, but they go very thin. So a lot can go wrong. Maybe there's a higher upside than I give Colorado credit for, but a lot could go wrong quickly there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd say that I think the opinion of them has swung too far the other way. Everyone just thinks they're going to stink because they stunk a year ago. If you look, they made a lot of improvements specifically on the O-line. That's where they're the most efficient. But I'm not going to mess around with either of those guys for Heisman. I just don't think the numbers are going to be there. I think Sanders is going to be a first-round pick, but I'm not messing around with either of those.
Shadur Sanders, it will be. You're right. To 25-1, he's going to be a first-rounder.
I also think the narrative matters. I think people are bothered by Deion for a variety of reasons, whether they want to admit them out loud or not. And I think because of that, that holds back that team from winning some of these awards. But I don't think they're going to have enough wins. That's the big issue. Because this award isn't just what it used to be. Like, remember when the late Colt Brennan was a finalist for the Heisman out of Hawaii? I don't know if a team from, like, or a player from that kind of a school is ever going to be a finalist again. I just think this is very much a quarterback on the best team award. And then you have to have the gaudy numbers if you're really going to, like, win this and run away with it. Or your team has to be so dominant that there aren't any other options. So I'm going with the approach this year, Patrick, of there's a couple of the shorter shots that I'm going to take. And then I'm messing around with a lot of long shots because I think making the playoff is going to be massive when it comes to winning this award. So teams and players that are eligible that make the playoff, I'm going to look at some of those longer shots on the board and take some shots.
Yeah, the quarterbacks, you know, 36. Look, if you go through it, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams the year before, Bryce Young, Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Bama.
Okay.
Then you go quarterback, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry, the running back. Ollie Gordon, 65-1 at OSU.
Okay.
You
mentioned a couple things. So I did just say it's mostly a quarterback award. However, there are a couple of non-QBs that I want to have prices on now because if they get off to really good starts, it's going to shorten up. Maybe some other people get longer and we can mess around here in season. So Ollie Gordon is the first one you mentioned. Oklahoma State, according to a lot of people, a lot of the experts, can win that league. The league is wide open. I like Kansas State in the league, but it would not shock me if the Cowboys end up winning the Big 12. With that, Ollie Gordon was used so much a year ago. Rightfully so. Alan Bowman's the quarterback. He's 137 years old. He fought Joe Lewis. Like, he's been around a minute, Alan Bowman. And I think if they're going to get to where they need to offensively, they've really had weak offenses the last few years under Gundy. It's going to be on Ollie Gordon's legs. So I took a flyer at 75-1 to him. The other non-quarterback that I really love, I'm high on Mizzou. Our last guest, John Lobb, is high on Mizzou. I think the schedule plays out perfectly for Missouri this year. Also, it's a program that lost a lot on the defensive side of the football. But the production on offense returns. Because of that, potential shootouts. They have a receiver that is going to be the first receiver taken in the upcoming draft this year, Luther Burden III. He's 150-1 right behind me here at Circa. I have a little bit on him, and I have the quarterback Brady Cook 50-1 because I think Missouri is playoff bound. I think those two guys are going to have monster seasons. The chemistry coming back together matters, and because of that, Burden is one of the non-QBs that I'm taking at 150-1.
I like it. We were talking about, you know, somebody like a Utah who's favored in their conference. Cam Rising returns for another year, 40-1. 14-1 on Milroe. I'm not the biggest Milroe guy, but I just think DeBoer is such a boon for Milroe at 14-1.
But remember last year what happened. That offensive staff mismanaged Jalen Milroe. They didn't know how to use him. It took them weeks to figure it out.
Correct.
Kalen DeBoer. Look, the Michael Penix thing's fascinating. He stunk at Indiana. Let's be real. And that's not totally his fault. But it just goes to show you that a player with a certain skill set, if he's not used properly by the coach, if the coach can't unlock what he's capable of being on the field, he's not going to reach that potential. We just saw DeBoer do that in Washington with Penix over 2 years. You give him 1 year with Milroe now. Milroe is a much better runner than Penix. I actually think he has a stronger arm than Penix. Probably not as accurate, but I think he has the potential to have a monster season with DeBoer just telling him what to do.
Yeah, DeBoer is such an upgrade. They used Milroe in nonsensical ways.
They didn't understand.
Last year.
They didn't understand.
They couldn't unlock him. And then he started to gain momentum towards the end of the year. So I don't think 14-1 is a crazy price.
Now, I did find Cam Ward 20-1, and I bet that this week. I just think
20-1 is a great price.
He has legit receivers back in Jacoby George and Restrepo. Like, they have weapons. They have not a great offensive line. Cam Ward has 13,874 career passing yards, 119 touchdowns. He has a lot of experience. He will be fine his 1 year at Miami.
Miami's loaded. Yeah. They just have an issue.
Well,
at head coach.
Big issue.
Family Plays got bets coming up next. Okay, we've got our Family Plays coming up in just a bit. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I wanted to bring up the Dublin game coming up on Saturday, just because Florida State opened 13.5, but Georgia Tech's getting bet right now. It's down to 11 at some shops, and I actually think the number's going the right way.
Oh, yeah.
Brent Key's team won 6 games last year, including, I believe they beat your Hurricanes, Miami, North Carolina. Haynes King returns at quarterback, Jamal Haynes in the backfield. Like, this is, I think they're closer on paper, Florida State and Georgia Tech, and give them credit. Now, we saw Notre Dame overpower Navy at the line of scrimmage last year. There's just so much turnover on this Florida State team. I think by the time, my assumption is by the time game time rolls around, we'll probably get that number bet back up. But I think the sharp buyback right now in the market leads me to Georgia Tech. Obviously prefer the 13.5, but that number is moving towards the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I'm a little bitter at myself. I was monitoring this for like the last few months when the game of the year lines and the week zero lines were dropped months ago, and I loved Georgia Tech plus 13. I bet 11.5. I think it's going to get lower. I don't know how much lower, but
you
I
do?
Think...
That'll be interesting to see where it closes. That's an interesting one.
Look, I think Florida State's highly overrated, but I think there's momentum with Georgia Tech. A year ago, they opened the year against Louisville. Now, it was in Atlanta, wasn't technically on campus. It was a neutral site game, but it was in Atlanta, and they covered against Louisville. Louisville was much deeper, but Haynes King, former, you know, dual threat at A&M, was a receiver at one point. He's a scary weapon. Offensively, production-wise, they return just about every piece outside of tight end. Where you look on the other side, Florida State's got guys in the NFL that they have to replace. Johnny Wilson covered up a lot of mistakes at 6'6" on the outside. Keon Coleman is going to be the number one weapon for Josh Allen this year. They lost Benson, the running back. They lost Jordan Travis, who was the heartbeat of this team and was key for them winning a lot of close games, i.e. versus Clemson in Death Valley. I think Mike Norvell is a very solid head coach, but if we're going to really look at his whole body of work since getting to Tallahassee, up until last year, there was a lot of underachieving in this role. Now you're going to patch it together with transfers, which I get it. Everyone's got transfers. Everyone's dealing with that. We don't know how he's going to handle that. Some coaches will be better at it than others. We'll see how he does, but he's got Jaheim Bell, the tight end in the NFL as well. So you're talking about all of your top skill guys are gone for Florida State, whereas Georgia Tech, there's continuity. There's a really, really smart yes. coach that's innovative on the other side. I love the points in Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Brent Key's a very good coach. Look, you mentioned the portal, and Florida State did reload in the transfer portal. I think they're going to be very good on defense.
Yes,
I do. I have issues. You mentioned Travis wasn't my favorite quarterback, but you can shoot Uiagalelei to the moon.
DJ,
we've seen enough. We've seen plenty. That's not the answer.
No, no. Look, his best game was when he had to step in for Trevor. Was it Trevor Lawrence? Yeah. Against Notre Dame on the road in yes. South Bend. Since then, he has been the most tentative quarterback I've seen on teams expected to do yeah. something. He was.
Yeah, he's not good.
When his team's up, he'll make some throws. When his team's up a couple scores, he'll take some shots, he'll make some plays. You'll think he's someone. He's pretty mobile. When it's crunch time, when it's time to figure out what you got between the legs, DJU does not step up.
No, he's not very good. I do like the points with Georgia Tech. I'm in agreement with you there. Let's get to a couple of family plays. Get some bets in. Now, I am on the over 8 with the Metsies, and I laid the half a run first 5 with the Phillies, $1.20. Go ahead.
Some notes with the Orioles. You mentioned the Mets Orioles over. Baltimore just put Zach Eflin on the IL. Some inflammation in his shoulder. That is not good for them. That was their big in-season addition at the deadline. So right shoulder inflammation, retroactive August 17th. I don't see any notes on what the expectations are, but that is a dagger for the Baltimore Orioles, who desperately needed to add a number one, especially someone under contract for next year, because Corbin Burns is expected to walk via free agency. Eflin is that, but they also need Eflin for this year because they needed him to be somewhere between Burns and Grayson Rodriguez when things set up in the playoffs. This is not a good look for Baltimore.
You're not going to convince me that, again, so much of this is so a derivative of fantasy. They are loaded in their farm system. You're not going to convince me Scooble wasn't the play. It's crazy.
Well,
just take a shot.
What I'd say is if the asking price for Trevor Rogers, who absolutely stinks, was Stowers and the other prospect, was it Mayo they traded?
No, I know the Tigers
Norby.
Scooble.
Well, no, I'm saying the market was off. They would have to give up Jackson Holliday in the deal for Scooble, and I wouldn't do that.
You think they had to give up Holliday?
I think if I was Detroit, I would ask for Holliday.
Detroit's the reason Scooble is a Tiger is because their asking price was wild.
Yeah, yeah. But look, pitching-wise for Baltimore, think about this. Closer Felix Bautista hasn't pitched this year. He's been hurt since last year. They lost Bradish. They lost Means. They lost Tyler Wells. And now Eflin's hurt who knows how long. I mean, the front office has got to say, one, we had plenty of options. It's just they all got hurt. But also they have to look themselves in the mirror and wonder, are they doing something in the way they're treating their starting pitchers that's leading to all of these injuries?
Did you see Brian Flores' reaction to Tua?
I saw the quote.
It was very good.
Was it?
So Tua called him a terrible person.
Yeah.
Flores came out. He could have been bitter. He said it hurt. He said it's an opportunity for me to grow. I've evolved since then. I'll take those words and use them as an opportunity. So he didn't get into a back and forth. He didn't get in a peen match with your boy. Tua is out here. He's getting chirpy.
Yeah,
he's
look, windy. I think like there's two sides of the story, and both can have some truth in them. Maybe Brian Flores was trying to motivate Tua, thought he was a little bit soft. As someone who's been in those shoes before, I understand when people try a little tough love to push you forward in your career. And for Tua, he didn't love the tough love he was getting for Brian Flores. Flores could have thought at the time he was doing the best by Tua and that he'd watch Tua grow and get tougher. It just didn't happen.
How do you react to tough love?
I get defensive at first, then I think about the words the person says, and I realize they're probably right.
That's true. That is how you react.
It is very true. Super defensive initially, then I get by myself and I go, probably didn't react the best way. Okay, let me process.
Defensive like Brian Flores with the Vikings.
Blitz package.
Settles down, and you take it easy.
Get you on the edge.
Right, exactly. Let's get to some family plays. We got bets.
Yeah, let's
bets
go.
On bets.
Let's go with Bobby Stanley Jr. You know, he's looking at the futures market when it comes to football. He's finding us some gems. His Discord's the prop shop, so if you like to get down on the props, he's always putting information out there that's applicable when it comes to betting all sorts of sports. So here's our guy, Bobby Stanley Jr. Here's a Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money family play.
Bob Stanley over here with VSiN and Sharp Money, giving you another NFL future to look at. I'm going over to DraftKings, and I'm looking at Jaxon Smith-Njigba of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm betting him to score 7+ touchdowns at 5-1. I line chopped this. I went over to FanDuel to see what the odds were for 8+ touchdowns. For him to get 8, it's +430. So we're getting a better number and better odds over on DraftKings. I put about a quarter of a unit on it. I love Njigba to go off this season in his sophomore breakout campaign. He had 4 receiving touchdowns as a rookie. I think Tyler Lockett, they're being very cautious with him in the preseason. It's given Njigba time to build a rapport with Geno Smith. Now, this Ryan Grubb offense coming from Fresno State, coming from Washington, gives half the target share to slot wide receivers, and that's where Njigba's going to dominate in one-on-one matchups. I love this line. We're getting good value shopping over at DraftKings. Bet him to score 7 touchdowns this season, an increase over his rookie year at 5-1. Put a quarter of a unit on it. Lock this one in, and best of luck.
Okay, thank you to Bobby Stanley Jr. It's a good job with a future play. It's not news. They keep on talking about Brandon Ayuk. The Ayuk drama is never ending. I think that's fair to say. Hey, by the way, go ahead.
It just feels like we're not going to get a payoff because he's going to end up staying with the Niners long term. So this is all a giant waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, probably. Hey, I didn't follow up. Did Henderson, Nevada win in the Little League World Series yesterday?
They won their
against
game.
Against Hawaii?
What?
Hendertucky.
They play tomorrow.
My old stomping grounds.
They play tomorrow, according to Sean, our audio engineer. I haven't lost yet, and I'm not sure even where we are in the tournament because I swore that was for the U.S. title, and it was not.
You know what? Sean, born and raised in Vegas, he might have been on the Henderson Little League team.
Oh, I'd lay up to 165 with them.
You're going to lay it with Henderson, Nevada?
Yeah, I don't even care what the price is. I'm back in Henderson. Think about some of the athletes baseball-wise have come out of here lately. Maybe it's not that lately. Bryce Harper, Joey Gallo.
Bryce Harper.
Paul Sewald. There's a long list.
Is there?
There's one more I'm
missing.
This
is 3 people.
I'm missing one. No, there's one more. It'll come to me. Hang on. Close tabs. We'll have it for you next.
You got an itch there, big guy?
Yeah, for some reason, my face never itches. Whenever I'm on camera, my nose itches all the time.
It's a good look. It's a professional way of approaching it.
Well, I could pick my nose.
No, I don't. I don't think that's a great idea. We've got more family plays, so plenty of plays coming up in some Brazilian soccer. And we're going to close some tabs with the nose picker. Don. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am just taking a look. So, 471 rotation, Vegas Chargers, Week 1, SoFi. It's going to be all Raiders fans. And it's an interesting number because this number opened 3 with the Chargers laying it. Obviously, Herbert dealing with, I think it's the toe or the shin.
Oh, plantar.
Plantar fasciitis. That's not good. So, Minshew's announced as the starter. Yesterday, this number gets hit, and Fezzik did a good job covering this as well. Got hit all the way up to 4.5. There's been some buyback on the Raiders, so now everywhere in the market is Chargers. Again, the key number NFL betting is 3, and now it's 3.5. Question now, everybody seems to think this is going to be an offense, obviously, that's going to be running the football a lot, but we do have questions about Herbert. He says he's good to go. Shall we hear from his coach?
Yeah, because, you know, he'd sat out practice for the last couple weeks with the foot issue, Herbert. And this was Jim Harbaugh yesterday talking about his signal caller returning to the practice field.
Great. I felt like the music should be playing. I even thought I thought I heard music. Voices of Angels, maybe. Felt great. It felt great.
Dude, he's just super weird.
I love him.
I mean, I
so
like
much.
Him. He's just so weird.
He's comfortable. He's comfortable in his own weird skin. Got to give him credit.
So I think he was referring to the fact that he heard angels singing because Herbert was at practice.
Yes. Yeah. It was a religious moment for him. And he's very religious. He'll tell you all about it.
Fair enough. Okay, let's get back to some bets today with the family plays. Who's up next?
Our guy, Aaron Halterman, the plus money prince, Mr. Minus 110 or plus 110, whatever it may be. He's got a podcast. Check it out. Due to Bet on Sports podcast and, of course, all the horse racing handicapping over at racingdudes.com. Here's our guy, Aaron Halterman, sharp money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money? Back for Tuesday here. Let's try to get a winner home. I'm going to go Arizona Diamondbacks minus a run and a half at plus 115. Well, look, to me, when you start handicapping these games in the morning and into the afternoon, you kind of look at it and go, this one just jumps out on the screen. The Diamondbacks are in Miami tonight, a team in the Marlins that are just kind of just playing out the rest of the season. They don't have a lot to play for. And you look at the Diamondbacks, they've got everything to play for. They're in a wild card race. They're in a division race as well. They're just a much better team overall. You look at the pitching matchup, Rodriguez on the mound for the Diamondbacks. That shouldn't be much of a problem. He's an average pitcher, but he should be able to do okay against this Marlins lineup. Cabrera on the mound for the Marlins. He was decent last year. He just had to battle some injuries this year. Hasn't been quite as sharp. So this is an automatic for me. You look at this and go, well, you just have to play the Diamondbacks minus a run and a half at a plus number price here in Miami. So I'm going to take the Arizona Diamondbacks minus a run and a half at plus 115 is my best bet of the day.
RacingDudes.com, Aaron Halterman, dudes who bet on sports, lay it with the snakes, the run and a half at a plus price. It's a tremendous job. I believe we've got Manny. Now, Manny Davidson, part of Sharp Money Survivor.
Oh.
I think he wants to get involved in the futures market in the NFL.
Well, NHL,
which is even wilder.
Okay, but you know what's even wilder? I just looked this up, and if this website is correct, and I think, does the math check out here? It feels like it doesn't. Does the hockey season start in 45 days?
Yeah. No.
45 days? 30 days?
I'll tell you, it does. I'll tell you right
it
now.
It does. It does.
Yeah, it does.
So you know what?
All right, let's get it in.
He's not that
Manny
crazy.
Put the effort in.
He's not that crazy. At Hump Day Hockey on Twitter and X. He's a wild card. He's in prison. He was once the leader of Sharp Money Survivor, and he's got a NHL future for you with his family play.
What's going on, guys? I'm Manny Davidson, and this is my Sharp Money family play of the day. It's an NHL future. We are going to the awards market, Vezina Trophy, given to the best goalie in the NHL each season. And I like the number on Linus Allmark at plus 2,200. Allmark was one half of the best goalie duo in the NHL last year alongside Jeremy Swayman. But the Bruins have decided their future and they went with the younger Swayman. So Allmark is now in Ottawa. The Sens had one of the worst goalie situations in the league last year, being bottom five in goal differential above expected and NHL worst in goals against above expected, but this Sens team is full of youth, full of skill, and the core is locked in for a long time at a good price. And with Allmark being in the last year of his contract, he may be looking to prove himself to be this group's guy long term. I'm high on the Sens this year, and don't forget, Allmark won this award just two seasons ago with 40 wins in 48 games and a ridiculous 1.89 goals against average.
All right, don't say we don't have every sport covered because we're betting the futures market in NHL on August 20th. Just quickly, Brazil, Serie B, Now, this is just price. Ponte Preta, as you know, taking on Amazonas. It's just an even money on Amazonas. So it's a shot, but we bet it pretty heavy, me and the soccer guy. So Serie B, Brazil, coming up 5 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Amazonas, even money.
Okay, I just want to clarify. By Serie B, do you mean like Series B, like it's the B teams?
No, it's just different divisions, Serie A, Serie B. But I don't think it's a relegation.
Okay,
thing,
okay, I didn't know. I thought you were literally like betting on a minor league
could
team.
Be. No. I bet Serie C, Serie B, Serie A, okay. Brazilian soccer. It gets confusing, but it's a good price.
Yeah, okay.
I assure you. Amazonas, okay?
I believe you.
Have fun with it. I'm sure you'll be watching. I actually have the soccer package on YouTube TV where I can watch all the Brazil games.
I just want to watch the Brazilian weather reports.
Oh, me too.
It's a mountainous region.
It is. Topography off the charts. All right, anything else before we get to our closed tabs for the day?
I've got one bet. Look, if you want to lay 125 with the Blue Jays and against Cincinnati today and Jose Berríos, he's been really good of late. I'm going to, instead of lay it, I'm going to flip this into a plus 135. I saw a prop out there. Blue Jays to win plus Berríos, 5 strikeouts at plus 135. So I go from minus 125 to plus 135. And I think if the Blue Jays win, Berríos will have 5 plus strikeouts. He's had at least 5 in his last 5 starts, and then starting pitchers against Cincinnati over the last 4 are averaging 5.75 Ks per game. I think if one happens, the other will. So let me get that plus price instead of laying a price here with the Blue Jays and Berríos.
Good job, big guy. Still like laying half a run first 5 with the Phillies, and we'll go over 8. Now again, get the best of it. 8 in the market on the Mets as far as total there. And find 8.5s as well, but we're going to go over that 8. Let's close some tabs. We'll get out of here on a Tuesday.
All right. I was corrected by at Robert Bauman on Twitter. I said, aim big, miss big. The quote from The Patriot is aim small, miss small from The Patriot. Great flick, though.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Totally different approach.
Literally
though.
The opposite.
You called Tom Brady the GOAT, and I never understand this, why we don't call people the boat. Because I would rather be looked at as a boat because, you know, yachts are awesome than a goat. Literally the last farm animal you're choosing to have at your farm. So I don't understand the goat versus boat thing.
Yeah, and also I literally just said it because that's what he's – I don't think he's the goat.
How can we – it's the greatest of all time. How can we refer to so many people as the greatest? That doesn't make sense.
Hey, fair enough. Doesn't make sense. What else?
Some baseball players from Las Vegas include Bryce Harper, Joey Gallo, Chris Bryant, Bryson Stott, Tommy Pham, Tyler Anderson, Eric Fetty, who's pitching tonight. I'm fading him, backing the Brewers, and Paul Sewald from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's see.
That's a good list.
It's a really good list. There's
a
few others.
More extensive list than I thought.
On this day in 1866, President Andrew Johnson formally declared the U.S. Civil War over.
No politics, but Andrew Johnson, maybe one of the worst human beings that ever walked the planet.
Yeah, and did that war really
No end. Politics.
Did the war really
No end. Politics.
Almost
got impeached. One vote kept them in the White House.
And then happy birthday to our 23rd president, Benjamin Harrison, was born on this day in 1833.
Benjamin Harrison, born in Ohio, I believe, but then represented Indiana.
Father of
and
George.
He was a dud.
Father of George.
Ben Harrison, dud. Like tariffs, too.
That's getting
political. Not the father.
That's getting...
You should tell people what I was listening to right before the program started.
He's listening to some weird podcast as he puts it by the microphone getting set up, and I hear that's why they got banned from France and were knocked out of some treaty. It was I don't even know what they were talking about.
John Adams, XYZ affair. Very important.
Not to be confused with the XXX affair.
Right. Tremendous job. Dustin, I feel like a banner day from you, big guy.
Hang it.
Why are you laughing?
Hang it from the Raptors.
Decent prime time. Tim Murray, JVT coming up, followed by the Greg Peterson Experience, and VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.